your Bible, please, if you turn just for a moment to 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to preach this morning on it's very much a very well-known passage, and I feel a little bit like Peter this morning. You remember what he said in 2 Peter? "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." And I think we need to be reminded so often of some of the Old Testament characters and some of the experiences they went through. They have a lot to teach us. And so this is a very familiar passage, just 7 verses in 2 Kings chapter 6. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it is borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." And amen, and may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his inspired, outbreathed word. Now, if you've got your Bible, please, if you'd open it at where we had our reading, 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to preach this morning on keeping a sharp edge. Keeping a sharp edge. Now, with our Bibles open before us, let's just bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as I stand before this word and as this people sit before the word, we acknowledge the centrality of your word and the authority of your word in all of our lives, in our private lives and in church life. And we pray, Father, that you just help us now to focus on what you would have say to us from your word this morning. And Lord, help us truly to be receptive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And may this be a red letter day in all of our hearts when we'll be drawn one step closer, Lord, to yourself. To this end, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank you, Lord, you've promised to undertake for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Stories told of a young man who was hired by a logging firm, and this young man thought that he was an expert when it came to cutting down trees. And there was an older man in the firm who one day caught this young man's attention. And when this older man was out cutting trees, he would stop several times a day to sharpen his axe head. But the young man would just keep cutting, enabling him to surpass the older man. But after several days, the young man was left bewildered. His production was so reduced that he ended up losing his job. He couldn't understand how this older man could stop and rest and yet outproduce him. And as he was leaving, he approached the older man and said, "You know, I don't understand. I outworked you." When you rested, I continued cutting, yet you outproduced me. How did that happen? Well, the older man said, I learned a lesson many years ago from the Bible, Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the axe be blunt, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. In other words, a blunt axe requires more work. Be wise and sharpen your blade. And the older man said, you know, son, I wasn't resting. I stopped to sharpen my axe head. And he went on to explain that because the young man never stopped to sharpen his edge, the greater his labor and the less he accomplished. And I think there's a lesson in here that not only applies to me as a pastor, but to all of us, especially if we're engaged in some form of ministry within the context of the local church or beyond. Oh, how we need to keep a sharp edge, because the sharpest tools today can become very blunt tomorrow. I think the message of Ecclesiastes 10:10 is clear. If we stop sharpening the edge, the greater our labor, the less we will accomplish. We read together there from 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7 in this story. There are two main characters, namely a seminary student and the prophet Elisha. And the story begins by telling us of a problem that the young seminary students had. According to verse 1, the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us." What's this? Well, the building where they met to be taught the things of God by Elisha had become inadequate because of the growing number of young men. This no doubt was a tribute to the effectiveness of Elisha's ministry. I want you to note firstly the plan. Verse 2, "Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." The students came and they asked permission of their trusted teacher Elisha to go to the area of the Jordan River where there were many trees so they could build a larger place to live. And of course, the plan was for each student to cut one beam of wood for this new building project. So when they asked the prophet Elisha for permission to go to the Jordan, he enthusiastically answered, "Go, go." And you can see here, can't you, that there was mutual trust. The fact that Elisha let his students fire ahead with their plans, I think, indicates that he thought his students were mature enough to engineer the building of a brand new complex. Not only the plan, but I want you to notice the prophet, not wanting to be without their trusted teacher, one of the young seminary students came to Elisha, "Won't you please come with us?" Verse 3, "Then one said to Elisha, 'Please consent to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I'll go. Oh, sure, I'll go.'" And you know, that prophet must have been greatly encouraged. His ministry was making such an impact on the lives of these young men that their present facilities were not adequate to accommodate all who wished to be trained in the things of God. Wouldn't we love that problem in the Association of Baptist Churches? Wouldn't John Burney love that problem? And to this we are praying as a church in Carr Baptist. And I trust you as a church are praying that God would raise up young men to stand in our pulpits. That churches would take risks with young men. They're not all Spurgeons or Dr. Martin Lloyd-Joneses, but they're young men who want to cut their teeth, who have a passion to preach the Word of God, and we need churches to take risks. I thank God that Carr Baptist Church 6 years ago took a risk on me. I wasn't even a Baptist. I'd never been through Bible college, but they took a risk on a young man who they saw had a gift to preach. And God called me, and God equipped me. Oh, how we need to pray that God would raise up young men in our association of churches to fill our vacant pulpits. And so when these guys, they drew up the plans to build another Bible college, Elisha, he was all for it. When he was asked to accompany them to the Jordan, hey, they didn't have to ask twice. He was eager to see the work moving forward and eager to see these young men, these lovely young students maturing in their walk with God. So when the prophet Elisha was asked to go, verse 3, he quickly answered, I will go. That sounds a great idea. Sure, I'll go. Sure, I'll go. So Elisha and his young students headed to the Jordan River to build a new college campus. And when they arrived, according to verse 4, they immediately began to work on cutting down trees. I want you to notice not only the plan and the prophet, but the problem. Verse 5, but as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Yes, each student was doing his part, working passionately and enthusiastically, excited about the prospect of a new building to live in and a new building to study in. And is that not a picture of an active local church? Each body member doing their part, working enthusiastically, excited about fulfilling God's plan, using their gifts, using their natural abilities for the upbuilding of the body. Let me ask you this morning, why are you here? Why are you a member in Lisburn Baptist Church? When Sir Christopher Wren was building St. Paul's Cathedral, he unexpectedly arrived one day and asked one of the workers, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm cutting stone. He went to another part of the building. He says, what are you doing here? And another young man said, I'm making money. And he went to another part of the building. He says, what are you doing here? And the young man said, I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren build St. Paul's Cathedral. He felt it was a privilege to work alongside Sir Christopher Wren. What are you doing here, Christian? I'm helping Jesus Christ build his church. I'm here in Lisburn Baptist Church to use my God-given gifts and natural abilities to build up the body and to evangelize this community. Or do you just sit in that wee pew? That was a lovely wee sermon. See you next Sunday. Come on. These young fellas, they were together working passionately, enthusiastically, excited about fulfilling the plan of God. But hey, as one of the young students was cutting down a tree, we are told that the axe head that he was using, it came off the handle and fell into the Jordan River, sinking to the riverbed. What's this? He lost his cutting edge, without which all was useless. Let me say this. There's no greater work in all the world than building up the kingdom of God. But in the busyness of life, have you ever lost your cutting edge in your service for the Lord? I have. And if you're honest, you have too. If we keep going and going, activity after activity, meeting after meeting, without stopping to sharpen the blade, the greater the labor, but less will be accomplished. Ecclesiastes 10:10, if the axe be blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. Let me ask you, have you lost your effectiveness in doing the Lord's work? At one time you worked with vigor and strength and passion, cutting down, as it were, tree after tree, building up the kingdom of God. But not anymore. Friend, I want to say this morning, if you've lost your cutting edge for the Lord, be wise, 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 and ask the Lord to help you get it back again. Why did I say that? Because time is short. Remember what Jesus said, work while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Listen to me, we go once through this world and we cannot return to correct errors. We cannot return to recall neglected opportunities of doing our duty. The late Ernie Allen always reminded us, men, life is like a coin. You can spend it as you want, but you can only spend it once. Notice the plea. This young man cried out in dismay because his axe head had been borrowed. He was a student, you see, hadn't much money. And so it was borrowed. Verse 5b, alas, master, for it is borrowed. You see, watch this. The first step this young student took was admitting that he no longer had his cutting edge, for it slipped off the handle into the Jordan. Watch this. He was busy doing the Lord's work. Yeah. Doing the Lord's work. But suddenly he was no longer effective at it. That speaks to me. To admit that you have a problem is the first step, and often the most difficult step, isn't it? We can see many examples around us where admitting that one has a problem is the first step in the healing process. For example, the first step in the program Alcoholics Anonymous is to admit that you have a problem with alcohol. That's the very first step. And this young student, you know, he could have reacted in other ways instead of admitting that he had a problem. You know, he could have been happy that he lost his axe head and used this as an excuse just to stop working for God altogether. He could have found a nice corner there and under the shade of a tree and poured himself a glass of sparkling Jordan River water and just sat back there and relaxed and watched other people doing the work. On the other hand, he could have refused to admit that he had lost his axe head. He could have said, I don't have a problem. He could have just kept swinging away there with the old wooden stick without the iron axe head mounted on the end, just going through the motions, making plenty of noise, plenty of activity, but accomplishing nothing. But the moment he was conscious of his loss, he cried out, "Oh my Lord, the axe was borrowed." Have you ever considered that the fact that all your abilities and resources and possessions and talents are borrowed? Paul asks in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that God hasn't given you? That's a good question. What do you have that God has not given you? Nothing. All that you have is on loan from God, and God has not given us permission to stop working for Him. We are stewards. One day we'll be held accountable for our stewardship of the things that have been loaned to us, including our children. And unless we as individuals admit that we have lost the cutting edge, we might spend the rest of our lives making a lot of noise and accomplishing nothing. It's the easiest thing in the world for me as a pastor to stand here and deceive you. Preach well, eloquently. Oh, that was a good message. I enjoyed that. That inspired me. But my words are empty, sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. What did Paul say? For the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Spiritual character is measured not by the impressiveness of words, but in the power of the life. We can say all the right things and do all the right things, but come on, folks. We can impress others. We can put on a show. But what a man is on his knees before God, that he is. And I wonder, can you identify with William Cowper, a man who suffered much with depression, but he wrote those words, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word?" Maybe that's what you've lost. Therefore, the first thing you should do is to admit that you have a problem. Alas, Master, capital M. You need to make full confession of your failure to the Lord himself. Then you'll have the assurance of his forgiveness and his cleansing. And not only do you need to make full confession of your failure, you need to determine the exact spot where you lost your cutting edge. Look at this, the place, verse 6. So the man of God, Elisha, said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. You got that now? We all know from personal experience that a really good way to find something is to try to remember where you had it last. I'm forever losing my wallet and my pen about the house. Where did I put that wallet? We try to think back to where we had it last. And this young seminary student, you know, he didn't plan to lose his cutting edge. It just happened. As a matter of fact, something similar happened in a spiritual sense to the Apostle Peter in the New Testament. Peter said to Jesus, "Though everyone else at times stops serving you, Lord, not me, I'll never stop." Oh, no way. I'll never stop serving you. Then one day, even faithful Peter denied his Lord 3 times. He lost his cutting edge. He didn't plan to lose it. It just happened. And folks, if you ever get to the point where you've lost your cutting edge in doing God's work, you need to remember where you had it last. Where did you feel the Lord? Where did you lose the conscious realization of his presence and his power in your life? Was it when you gave up on your private devotions? Was it when you had a misunderstanding with someone? Was it when you made that unholy alliance, engaged yourself in that unequal yoke, or when you committed that secret sin or entered into that dishonest transaction? Was it when some idol took the place of preeminence that is rightly the Lord's? Where did it fall? And unless you have the courage to take a deep and serious look at your personal spiritual life, and unless you confess your sin, unless you confess your shortcomings to the Lord, you will never recover that effective, sharp, cutting edge. Notice sixthly, the power. All was not lost for this young man. Likewise, I want to encourage you this morning, all is not lost for you. Remember the Peter who lost his cutting edge? He became the Peter of Pentecost. He preached Christ and him crucified. And what a sharp threshing instrument he became, leading thousands to the Savior, the very one he had earlier denied. Let me say this. No one has gone too far for God to raise him up. Not even you. Not even me. Verse 6-7, so Elisha cut off a stick, threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, pick it up yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Isn't that wonderful? Miraculously, this iron now, iron axe head, it floated to the surface. His cutting edge was returned, and he continued in his work. I want you to notice this. This young man here was one among many. And yet God not only cared about him, but was concerned about his individual problem. That's lovely. Likewise, I could say this morning, God cares about you. And he will help you to solve your problems. He will help you to return your cutting edge for his honor and for his glory. Watch this. Elisha had the power from God to make the axe head float to the top. He had the power from God to make the axe head leap out of the water onto the end of the stick. But he didn't do it. He didn't do that. I want you to watch this. Why do you suppose Elisha didn't do that? God wanted this young man to be involved in his own recovery. God wanted him to reach out his hand and recover the axe head himself. Therefore, he said, pick it up yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Elisha didn't do it for him. This was something the student had to do for himself. And that's right through Scripture. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Look at the divine directives in the book of Jude. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Keeping yourself in love with the Lord. It's not done for you. You've got to do it yourself. And when it comes to your spiritual recovery, there are certain things that you must do for yourself. Let me just give you one example. If you have lost your cutting edge because you're harboring within your heart an unforgiving, bitter spirit toward a fellow believer, God expects you to be involved in your own recovery. Listen. Matthew 5:24, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Where does that verse disappear to? Eh? Where did that verse go to in many of our Bibles? So concerned about the versions and our style of worship and this, that, and the other thing. What about this? What about this? Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Reach out your hand and get it sorted out. Today. Pick it up yourself. Finally, what time is it? I'll have to finish now. Finally, the procedure. Now, here's a lovely story that assures us that one can be restored. One can be reinstated. One can be re-equipped for the service of the Lord. When this young student admitted he had a problem, when he identified where the problem was, God intervened by his power and he was able to recover the sharp cutting edge. And of course, this is the same procedure that we'll all need to adopt if we ever lose our cutting edge in our service for the Lord, when we lose the conscious realization of his presence and his power in our lives. Now watch this. If this seminary student had occasionally checked his axe head, he could have avoided all his problems, couldn't he? He would have seen that it was loose and done a quick and easy repair and avoided wasting any time. But he was negligent, wasn't he? And you know, in a similar fashion, we all need to check out our spiritual tools on a regular basis. We need to check our iron axe head of spiritual service and make sure our personal relationship with the Lord is in order. That's what David was doing in Psalm 51:10. He had lost his cutting edge, but he admitted that he had a problem. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me." 1 year previous, he had lost his cutting edge when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Now he wanted the cutting edge back. What did he say? "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Friends, it's time we stopped fiddling about and got real and made our lives count for God. Time is too short. And I'd say this, there's nothing that sharpens a cutting edge like the sharpening stone of prayer and systematic study of the Word. And yet we all struggle there, don't we? I do anyway. My life is so consumed with others and giving out and giving out and giving out to others. And sometimes, quite often, I'm neglecting my own personal walk with God. And I think it's the same with every pastor, something we need to be disciplined. It came forcibly to me the other morning. I was sitting having my quiet time. I looked out the window and there was a little blackbird. And it was poking away at the worms, having a good feed, having his breakfast, lovely juicy worms. And for 2 or 3 minutes, it poked and poked and fed itself. And then all of a sudden, it started to poke. And I could see all the worms gathering up in its beak. Obviously, after being filled itself, it was starting to gather the worms to carry them to the nest for her young. And the Lord said, "Richard, that's it. Feed yourself and then feed others." Christian, youth leader, elder, feed yourself. "He that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Feed on Christ and then feed others. Keep that sharp edge. So let us each one then make any needed repairs and maintain that sharp, effective cutting edge in the work of building up the kingdom of God.